Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, my next guest is an award-winning project manager. He's also seen the stress that comes with managing large projects as you juggle timelines, budgets, and stakeholder expectations. This has led him to put it all that he's learned, into a book, Leading Impactful Teams. James Luthert, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks ever so much for having me.
Now, tell us your own story, James. You were you're an IT man, project manager, reached a fairly senior level in a number of banks and large institutions, and then it all went fairly wrong for you.
That's right, yeah. So back in 2016, I was running a big program with one of the banks here in Ireland. And I was putting more pressure on myself and trying to deliver the project with a lot of effort, what I would call now effort rather than impact. Putting all these extra things on top of my plate and working very, very hard. The long and the short of it is I ended up in hospital from the stress and the pressure and got very sick.
Okay.
It was when I started thinking about what caused that, that I really stood back and started thinking about my life and the way I was approaching things and learning things and started to figure out different ways of doing things that would help.
And what was it that actually went wrong for you? Did you take on too much? Did the project become more important than anything else in your life? Were you totally consumed by it?
Yeah, and I think we're all guilty of this at times, particularly those of us that are ambitious, that are hardworking. There's an infinite amount of work. You can always see something else that can be done. And particularly for me, I was doing these plus one things that you kind of add to your day job to try and impress, you know, senior people in the company. But we also had three very young kids. And so I was not getting enough sleep, was tired at home. And all of that came together at that particular point in my life to being, you know, a pretty explosive experience.
And how did you rebuild your career after, you know, going to hospital, finding yourself in this dark place, suffering from burnout, probably low confidence, self-esteem, all those other things? How did you get back on the horse?
Yeah, so it's really interesting. I renegotiated my role and I took a role as the head of project management competency for the bank. So my role then was to help other people who were struggling with really interesting problems. And some of these people were much more experienced than I was, but were dealing with the real challenges of delivering projects in a very complex environment. And actually, the answer to the question is learning. I just went away and learned loads of stuff. So I got really interested in things like, I did my PMP, which is the project management qualification, but I also learned about agile and scaled agile and ways of working that way. But loads of other interesting things about behavioral psychology and people and how they work, facilitation techniques, and all these useful little tools that would be valuable in my career and in the work I was doing.
Is project management, I know you can't really simplify it, but is it managing a project or a task or an ambition to get something done through other people? So is that really the be-all and end-all?
Yeah.
To work your vision and the end result through a number of different people, and they might all have different skills, all have assets, liabilities, and is that really where the game is won and lost?
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting because we're all managing projects, right? One way or another,
yeah.
Whether it's planning your wedding all the way through to organising a team of people who are doing operational work. So those of us that have formal, you know, expertise and qualifications in project management are actually a relatively tiny group of the people that I work with nowadays. Because you're right, it's about pulling the resources you have together, whether that's people, technology, processes, and coming to an outcome. And I think that's one of the things that sometimes gets lost when we're managing projects, is the focus on the outcome, the value that we can deliver for the organization versus the output, you know, filling in the form or making sure that the code is written. And I think that's one of the big things that comes through in a lot of my work.
Well, like all these things, communication is sacrosanct in terms of, you know, is the vision for the project different in one person's eyes than someone else's? So the clarity around what it is we're doing here, what the end game looks like,
yeah,
and articulating that and communicating that to those in the team and those outside the team. Yeah. That's a huge part of the role.
Yeah, and that message can often get lost. So when I talk to a lot of my clients about this, we try and boil it back down to the value of the project, right? Why are we doing this thing in the first place? How can we articulate that in a way that everybody can understand? And quite often that comes down to being able to put a number on it so that you can talk to the finance guys and get the funding for whatever it is you need to do. But just having that clarity over why makes a big difference to a lot of projects. And some of my clients, before I start working with them, they really struggle to actually get that visibility of the high value, low effort things that we should be working on. And then very often they're working on high effort, low value things,
right?
What I call prickly pears. And actually that's where a lot of the stress and pressure on people comes from.
So you choose your battles, you choose where you spend your energy. You think about where your energy is going, and then you direct it to the most appropriate place.
That's right. So when I was lying back in that hospital bed back in 2016, my brother, he's kind of cool. He's a bit of a hippie. He's got like a big beard and long hair, and he plays the guitar and he makes harps for a living. And he sent me this video, and I was just watching it in the bed, and it was Baloo the Bear, you know, the Jungle Book.
Yeah.
And there's a line in the song, The Bear Necessities, where he says, "When you pick a pawpaw or a prickly pear, if you pick a raw paw, well, next time, beware.
Yeah.
Don't pick a prickly pear with a paw. When you pick a pear, try to use a claw. But you don't need to use a claw when you pick a pear with a big pawpaw." And that line really resonated with me, right? If we can focus on pawpaws, high-value, low-effort things, it's actually a papaya, but a high-value, low-effort thing, and get rid of the prickly pears, the low-value, high-effort things, then we should have the resources that we need from our organization and the support that we need to make sure that we're not delivering stressful projects, we're delivering effective ones.
Tell me about technology should be a project enabler.
Yeah.
And there's all sorts of project management software. Has that made things even more complicated? In other words, when there was no software, we still did projects. Things got built.
Yeah.
They got done. We got there somehow. Now there's all these enablers. And sometimes I wonder, do they actually complicate the process?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, for me, when I do the training course with companies, we boil it all the way back down to actually just post-it notes on a flip chart, right? Let's just identify the tasks that need to be done and stick them there, you know, where we can see them, where we can move them around, where we can estimate them. And then the technology does have a place. So there are very big, complicated projects that you just can't keep track of on flip charts and post-it notes. But understanding the basics of, you know, estimating work and effort, and the difference between that and the duration of the task is one thing that gets lost often. And understanding the constraints that you're working within, but in a way that's real, and you're pulling that from your team or from your stakeholders so that, you know, these things get bubbled up to the top. And sometimes I think we hide behind the technology, and we say, well, it's in the risk log or it's in the system, in Clarity or wherever it is, and therefore it's being managed. And actually, no, it's not being managed. It's just in a system.
When you look at projects like the National Children's Hospital, the Port Tunnel, these mega infrastructure projects that can often go wrong.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on those kind of things?
Yeah, it's fascinating. And I think a lot of that comes down to some of the way that contracting works. On projects, it's very challenging for the people who work on them, because you have to agree everything up front before you know anything about the project.
Yeah. Right?
That causes huge problems, and therefore your sort of relationship boils down to the trust, or the trust doesn't come because you're boiling down to a contract.
You made the point there. If you don't know what you want, and you know you don't always know what you want, and you have to make things up as you go along, you're very, very vulnerable.
Yeah,
to be taken advantage of.
That's it. And there's a more recent way of managing projects, which doesn't really work for big infrastructure projects like that. That's what you're talking about, is a traditional waterfall type project. But this new way of doing agile projects can be very, very good way of understanding that the world is going to change on us, right? We're going to learn things as we go, and we can respond to that. But I think the skill is to understand that there's two ways of doing things.
Yeah.
And it's not either this or this. They've both got useful elements to them.
Yeah.
And building a toolbox of skills and techniques and approaches that actually we can apply to this project, to this circumstance, and what's going to make a difference there. And I think sometimes we feel like we have to follow a process just because it's there. And I'd like to challenge that. I'd like to say, no, hang on a second. Why am I filling in this form? It's not adding value.
Yeah.
Right, let's do it in a slightly different way.
Finally, can I ask you about hippos? You mentioned them around, you know, project meetings where you've got the team together. Tell me about the hippo. He's the highest paid person's opinion.
Yeah.
And that is a real derailer at meetings, isn't it?
It's a funny thing. I do a lot of work at that sort of sea level with particularly CIOs, but lots of organizations. And they often come to me, James, how can I empower my team more? And how can I get their ideas? And the answer is, shut up. But that's actually a really difficult thing to do if you know a lot of things, right? And if you're experienced, you're a senior person because you know a lot of things. So I actually teach a technique called the SAVE technique: silent writing, affinity clustering, voting, and then execute. And what you do using particularly the silent writing part of that technique is you ask a question in a room full of people who've got an opinion, and you get them to write it down. And I actually do. Do you remember Austin Powers? I think it was Austin Powers too. Dr. Evil. There's this thing where he goes, shh, shh, I've got a bag of shh, right? And I kind of facilitate the thing and make sure that everybody, it's like exam conditions.
Yeah.
But once you do that, it's really interesting. People's brains start to work. They're kind of forced. They've got a little deliverable. They've got to write an idea on a post-it note. And so all these interesting ideas that are in the team that would otherwise be lost because they're kind of waiting for the more experienced person to give their opinion, they appear in the room. And now they're a physical thing. They're real. You can do something with them. And you can take that and you can use that for task identification. You can use that for risks. And it's a really good way of bringing people in and empowering them and giving them a stake in what's going on the project.
Fascinating stuff. Thanks for coming in. That's James Lutet there, author of Leading Impactful Teams. Best of luck with the book, James. I really enjoyed our conversation this morning.
Thanks, Bobby. Great.
Cheers.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.